Hi and welcome to Buddy's First 11. I'm here with Graham Onions. We're talking about some of the most memorable matches of his career, and today we're talking about a pretty special occasion because only 87 times in the history of first class cricket has anybody ever taken 10 wickets in a match. And I've been in the situation a few times, Graham, where you've seen a bowler who's on for a 10-for. You were obviously there with Otis Gibson. We saw it with Chris Rushworth against Northants recently, and his teammates are absolutely terrified of taking the wicket and messing it up. So you managed to get 9 against Nottinghamshire at Trent Bridge in 2012. Which idiot was it who stopped you getting 10?
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I actually tried to miss and I ended up getting a run out. Can you believe that? But no, I mean, this is the reason why I've chosen this game is that, I mean, it's obviously a landmark for myself, quite a special day. But also, just such a unique day, really, because I remember obviously doing the journey from missing out on the test match at Lords against South Africa, and then obviously doing the journey, missing me lunch and missing me tea, and turning up, and first thing that the lad said, it was a lovely hot day, and I said, "Bunny, this is pretty flat." And I was like, "Well, why did we only get 194 then?" But the way it worked out, you know, it was just one of those wickets that just, you know, things happened my way. You know, it was very much, you know, you speak to people that get big wicket hauls and just say, "Oh, I had a bit of luck, and, you know, it went my way." But I think the situation is that the wicket suited me a little bit. It was quite a hard abrasive wicket, but it was just a little bit skiddy. So I just hit good areas, and a lot of the batsmen kind of played back, and with my natural skiddiness, I kind of just nipped back and hit them on the pad. So I got a few LBWs. But it was a special day. I mean, a day that I chose because it was just quite unique.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny the way cricket works. It's funny the way life works. That this had probably started out as a pretty miserable week for you, because it's been a bit of a theme of these podcasts about how great it is to play for at Lords, to play for England, and what have you. And in the case of South Africa, you were particularly looking forward to it because of who you'd been playing against.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, South Africa are a special side. You know, they've got some amazing players, but I mean, there's one guy, Dale Steyn, who I've always classed as he probably doesn't know it, but one of my heroes. I just love the way he bowls. I love the way he runs in and gives his all for his country, and he's another person really where I thought to myself, well, if I can kind of emulate his career a little bit in a way, and I know that I'm setting my standards very high here, but if I can do something that he's achieved in his career and be proud and running and give his all for his country, then that's what I want to do. But there's one thing which I do remember is that feeling of not getting picked again. And these podcasts, hopefully they aren't coming across too negative, because it does. When you go back through my career, I seem to think, well, you know, there's been a few times I've not been selected or I've had injury problems, but this was another one where I generally thought, I'm going to get selected in this test match after the back of some good performances for Durham and doing what the selectors have kind of asked me to do. And of course, I didn't get picked, and they said, "Oh, just hang around and support the lads at lunch." And I was like, "No, I need to. If I can't get in the test side, I want to go back to Durham and play at Trent Bridge and try and get some wickets." And you know, obviously I did that.
Yeah, because while Durham were playing at Trent Bridge, just to give people a bit of context, England were playing the sixth test match of that summer, and you'd been involved in all six squads but only one of the games.
Yeah,
that must be an extremely frustrating position to be in, because as you just said, if you're not playing for England, you want to be playing for Durham.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm no different. I suppose, like Dale Steyn is for his country, I want to be like that for Durham. And it's tough. I mean, you're in test match squads and you've got potential to play for your country, and of course that's great, but ultimately, you know, every single test match is you're not getting selected, you're not getting picked. It's quite hard to take. And I remember, it's not as though I'd had enough, but it was a case of, well, right, I'm going to show them how good I am. And you know, whether or not that had any influence on me getting those 9 wickets, probably not. But it was certainly a mindset of me thinking, well, I'm going to show them what they're kind of missing a little bit in a way. And I remember getting in the car. It was basically the toss was made, the first ball was bowled, so you couldn't change anything. And I got in the car and I went straight to Trent Bridge. And from then it was all happy memories, really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the great thing about moving from county to international cricket is that, no disrespect to county cricket, but you suddenly have the time to prepare properly, and rather than just being bombing from one game to the next. So to have to jump in the car and go straight from from Lords to Trent Bridge, I guess your mind was probably in a bit of a whirl when you arrived.
Yeah, it was. As I said, you know, the lads were very much like, I'm pleased you're here, but you'll probably not be very happy because it is a flat one. But it's, I mean, being from the northeast, you do a lot of travelling anyway. You know, I've probably before this test match been involved with a few of the others and kind of travel around a little bit as well. But I just remember getting in my car and just going straight to the ground. It worked out well because the lads had just finished their tea. Well, it didn't work out very well for me because I was starving, but the situation of the game is that I got a chance to bowl with a new ball. So I turned up, didn't really warm up very much, to be honest. I was probably a little bit stiff, a little bit sore, but I got off to a good start and got a few wickets early on. I remember getting Hales out because he didn't think he was out. It was a ball that nipped back, hit him on the back leg, probably hitting leg stump. Well, I'm always going to say that, I suppose. but yeah, it was just a good start. Gave us that feeling, you know, that if I put the ball in the right areas, that this could kind of be my day. But by no stretch did I ever think I was going to get 9 wickets.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to ask you about that. At what stage in an innings like that do you feel, wow, this is something special? I mean, I'm in a special place at the moment.
I think without sounding, you know, kind of big headed, yeah, but because the wicket was quite a flat wicket, you need to get into a good rhythm and you need to try to make things happen. And the other guys, you know, maybe struggled a little bit to get into some good rhythms and I suppose to take wickets, really. And things just happened for me, you know. I chose a good end, or I was just in good rhythm, or maybe mentally I was just thinking, right, I'm going to show how good I am, and it just, you know, it just happened. I remember getting a couple of balls, and I mean, Voges was quite a big one. That was that kept a little bit low and flicked the outside of off stump, and I think Scott both might have been playing that game. Yeah, I think he caught it at first or second slip, just flicked the top of off stump, and I think I took four, and I took all four, but I was bowling well, and I thought, well, you know, I've got a good chance of getting a big wicket haul, you know, and kind of influencing the game. We had a break at lunch, and I think I maybe got a couple after, and then after then. So once you've got 6 for and you've got no one else taking wickets, you of course think, you know, this could be my day.
Yeah, and I remember talking to you about after the game about the, well, obviously everyone mentioned the run out. I mean, you've taken 8 wickets by that stage, and There you go, producing this direct hit to this ball hit across the square leg to run Luke Fletcher out. And I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, you could tell at the time it was just instinct, wasn't it? You know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was Will Smith at the time. He had his helmet on. I think he was short leg for Scott Borthwick, and Scott was bowling quite nicely. He could have got a couple of wickets, and Will Smith just said, "What are you doing?" But I'm sure it was Luke Fletcher at the time knocked it. I was standing at quite a fine leg. Short fine leg, and I was sweating. I was pretty tired, and he just hit it, and he was quite a slow runner, so I just picked it up and I just obviously tried to hit, and it never looked as though it was missing, and I hit it, and everyone was like head, you know, hands on the head, saying like, "Bunny, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" So I've just run him out. He said, "Yeah, but you could have got 10 wickets." I was like, "Well, of course," I joked. I said, "Oh, well, I tried to miss, but obviously just hit shows how good of a field I am." But it was just one of those days where it just worked for me. It just happened for me. Actually, I think Luke Fletcher might have got his bat stuck as well in the dirt. So maybe if he had pushed his bat in a little bit, it might not have been out. But I wouldn't care. I'm sure just before that, I'm sure I bowled maybe 2 balls at the tail end. I bowled a bouncer, which I hit. I think I hit him. I'm sure I hit him on the badge on the helmet. And then the next one was I don't know how I didn't bowl him. So I was like, "Oh well, never mind. I'll have another chance, another crack at it." So I ran him out, and then it was over, and then I bowled Andy Carter, literally next ball, and I was like, oh, I've missed an opportunity to do what Gibbo, because Gibbo being a legend that he is, keeps saying, oh no, nobody else will get 10 for, you know, ever. And I was like, I was so close to doing it, but I suppose I look back now and I think, oh, well, 9 wasn't bad.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. I mean, we talked about what a rare thing it was, and to have actually had one of your teammates do it earlier and kind of fully appreciate what that all means. I mean, I think when Otis did it was the first time for the best part of 20 years that,
yeah, it was,
that anyone had taken 10 for.
And I suppose on that day, you're exactly right, though. I mean, you're bowling at the other end and you're like, oh, just don't get out. Don't get any wickets, because he deserves to get get all 10. But I remember watching Otis and I was just thinking, this is, and it was probably 5 wickets down. He probably had 5 wickets out of the first 5, and he was bowling so well. I just thought, he's going to take all 10. Yeah,
yeah.
He's going to take every single one. But of course, me being a bowler, I mean, the fielders might have at the time thought, this is nailed on, Graham's going to get 10 for, yeah. But at the time, I didn't. The only thing which I would say is during the right times in the game, I had, there was lunches and there was breaks, there was maybe drinks breaks, and it just gave me that little bit of a breather, a little bit of a chill out, where before I could kind of go again. Because although I only bowled 16 overs, I probably bowled 8 and 8, but it just gave me that little bit of breathing space.
Yeah, and I guess just as important to you is the fact that the wickets weren't wasted, in the sense that it was in a winning cause. I mean, it was actually an extremely tight game, this one.
Yeah, it was, and it was one of the first times we've seen Mark Wood, and we kind of laugh and joke about it now and say that he always produces against Notts. He always seems to get wickets, and he does. And the wicket, well, I mean, first of all, everyone was saying, oh, you could break Alan Walker's record. So I was like, oh, actually, I've got a good chance. And I probably took my mind off the game a little bit, really, because I was thinking, if I just take, say, 5 wickets in the second innings, I could break a record. Yeah, which could be great. So I ended up getting 1, which is an achievement, because you get your 10 for. But I didn't bowl as well second innings. Mark Wood reversed the ball beautifully and got his wickets. And it was the first time that we saw Mark Wood think, well, this guy's got some serious potential. He's got a lot of skills and attributes that could take him a long way. And I know it's easy for me to say that now, because he's playing for his country, but he got 5 for in the second innings when he ran in and bowled fast and reversed it. And, you know, of course we ended up winning, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, and in terms of the club as a whole, the 2012 season had been a very difficult one, but you finished it incredibly strongly. I think it was 5 wins from the last 6 matches, the other one a draw, under the new captain, Paul Collingwood. And I guess that was probably the starting point for the title which followed the next year, in terms of the momentum you built up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Collie kind of took the reins, and he kind of brought a little bit of fresh air, and he believed in us, and he just said, go out there and express yourself. And I think sometimes when you have that little bit of breath of fresh air, is that players go out there and they perform off their own back and perform well. And I don't think that's any coincidence, really. I think if you get the right personnel in charge and the right people that are going to go out there and believe in you, then, you know, like Dave Harker at Durham, and giving you an opportunity to have contracts and believing in you, and Jeff Cook believing in you, then I think a captain and a coach is exactly the same. You know, they go out there and they remind you how simple the game is, but also how you take your game forward. And it was the start of something special, because, as you said, you know, we won this game and we ended up winning, you know, 5 or 6 in a row. And we ended up playing some really, really good cricket, and it was actually a good, ended up finishing quite a tough season really, really well, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of showed a lot of the characteristics that you've shown since under Paul Collingwood, in that you got involved in a lot of tight matches and fought your way through them, and I guess that's really important for a size mentality.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, winning trophies, and you're winning competitions and winning tight games, is you need to do exactly that. You know, you need to have match winners or people who hold their hands up and win those games. And, you know, I'll say that, obviously, of course, it was my game as such, because I took the 9 wickets, but Mark Wood stuck his hand up second innings and said, I'm going to be the man to do it. And he did. And as I said, you know, I think Colley's influence and skills as a leader certainly helped us for that season and the following seasons, really.
Yeah, and I guess from a personal point of view as well, probably the period between 2012 and 2013 was arguably your peak. I mean, you took 64 wickets that year at an average of under 15. I think you were leading wicket taker in the division again the next year. I mean, did you really feel as though that, as we've talked about in the past, you'd recovered from that back injury? Yeah. Do you really feel that these were your best years?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I certainly had a stage from 2009, and then I had the... 2009, when I made my debut, I was certainly a good bowler, but I was nowhere near probably as good as I was, you know, in these seasons. These are seasons where I was consistent. I could constantly get the ball thrown to me, and Paul knew what you were going to get. And as a captain, I'm sure that's a real luxury, really. And I think I believed in myself. And during the county season, we always say that it's a hard slog, but if you get into it and you're actually doing well, then it's an absolute breeze. Yeah. I mean, vice versa, you know, if you're having a bit of a struggle, it can be hard work, it can be tough. But you need to obviously fight through those. And I think those, you know, 3 years were amazing times in my life, where, you know, cricket was just massively on the up, and I was consistent, I was enjoying myself. And of course, we were winning things, you know, winning yeah. trophies, winning games, and that's what you want. And I mean, I'd be quite happy for that average to be a lot higher and win things. So for me to be able to say that I'm contributing is the most important thing, really.
So how do you look back on that game now? Do you look at it with pride that you took those 9 wickets and 10 in the match, or do you look at it with frustration now that you produced that run out?
I'll never do that again. I mean, people, to be honest, people say that, you'll never do that. You'll never do that again. And you never know. You literally never know. So you never know. I might get another opportunity to do it. But realistically, that was the best opportunity I've ever had on taking. You know, I've taken 7 for, taken 8 for. But you'll generally get a wicket with a new ball with some, or Rushy will get a wicket with a new ball, or the overseas or something. But that, I mean, that day was, I suppose I look back at it now and think, what was I doing running him out? But you can't think like that, because it was just the 9 wickets and putting a match winning performance is really all I'm bothered about. I mean, I've got the ball in me house, and it's a ball which I've helped Durham win, I suppose. It doesn't matter about that 9 wickets. Of course, it'll go on my records, and it'll be something that I'm, of course, proud of, but... for me, it was a stage in my life where I was loving my cricket, so of course it'll be and the reason why I've chose this game is because it was a special game for me.
Excellent, thank you very much, Graham. You've been listening to Bunny's First 11. This, as you'll have gathered by now, is Graham Onion's benefit year, and you can find out more about the various events taking place by visiting his website at www.grahamonionsbenefityear.co.uk. Thanks again, and tune in 2 weeks' time for another podcast.